Thanks for listening to the Sunday morning message from New Hope Bible Church in Seven Valleys, Pennsylvania. For more information, please visit our website at www.nhbible.com. Have a blessed day.
Well, we find ourselves again in the letter Peter wrote to the persecuted church scattered across the Asia Minor region. And this morning, I want to begin by starting our time with quoting from a book. The book is called A Quest for Godliness, written by J.I. Packer. And he wrote in this book about a Puritan preacher from nearly 400 years ago named Lawrence Chatterton. Now, Lawrence Chatterton had ministered as a preacher of the Word of God for 50 years. Of ministry, and upon the age of 82, he decided that it was time for him to retire. He had such a reputation in the community as being a man who taught the Word of God with all his being that when he penned the letter of his retirement and word spread, he began to receive letter after letter after letter from fellow pastors, fellow Christians, fellow preachers, begging him not to retire, testifying that they owed their conversion to his ministry of the Word of God. J.A. Packer states in his book, Puritanism was, above all else, a Bible movement. To the Puritan, the Bible was, in truth, the most precious possession that this world affords. His deepest conviction was that reverence for God means reverence for Scripture, and serving God means obeying Scripture. To his mind, therefore, no greater insult could be offered to the Creator than to neglect his written word. And conversely, there could be no truer act of homage to God than to prize it and pore over it, and then to live out and give out its teachings. Intense veneration or adoration for Scripture as the living word of the living God and a devoted concern to know and do all that it prescribes was Puritanism's hallmark. An intense adoration and love for the Word of God, both in the preaching of it, the studying of it personally, the reading of it, and then applying it to their lives was the hallmark of the Puritan faith, J.I. Packer writes. I want to take that thought now and say that this should be the hallmark of every Christian. A love and devotion to the Word of God. For reverence for God means reverence for Scripture. Serving God means obeying Scripture. So our big idea for the morning has to do with the living and active Word of God and our relationship to it. The big idea is that we, as followers of Christ, as Christians, as born-again believers, must read God's Word in order to grow in our faith. And that's what Peter is connecting for us this day in the first three verses of 1 Peter chapter 2. That we must have a devotion to God's Word if we desire to grow spiritually. My hope is that after today's sermon, we will have a renewed passion for the Word of God, a renewed love for His Word. Now, I believe every Christian, when asked, would claim to have a love for God's Word. They would desire to have a love for God's Word. They know they should have a love for God's Word. However, I am sad to say that many of those same Christians do not prioritize the study and reading of it in their lives. If pressed, I believe the majority of the American church would admit that they don't read it as much as they should. Some would even probably go as far to say they never read it except for when it's read to them on Sunday. But maybe if we see the absolute importance of God's Word in our life, then maybe it will take precedent in our lives. Maybe, just maybe, if we understand just how precious it is as a resource, as followers of Jesus, then just maybe we would move the studying and reading of God's Word above hobbies, above sports, above work, above television and games, and even, yes, above sleeping. My prayer is that God's Word would become a top priority for me, for us. I think that's what Peter will say. You'll follow along as we read it together and understand this is what Peter's getting at. That we must have a desire, a longing for the Word of God, for it is the spiritual sustenance of faith. And when we read it, we become more like Christ, which is what we want, what we desire. So that's what Peter is writing to us this morning. If you haven't opened your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, go ahead and do so. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll look at and read together verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." Would you pray with me? Father, it's our desire this morning to understand what you have for us from your Word. Father, a passage like this is pretty simple to understand, pretty simple to break down and to teach through, but at the same time, perhaps very difficult to live out, to apply. And so, Father, my prayer this morning is that as your Word is proclaimed, you would do a work in our hearts so that we would truly long for your Word, desire greatly for it, Father, that it may be the hallmark of our lives, that we would see it as the most precious treasure that we own, and that we would study it, read it, and model our lives after its instructions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, the big idea is that we must read God's Word to grow in our faith. And we see that. I'm sure you picked up on it already as we read through these three verses that Peter is writing to the church. Is that we are to prioritize the Word of God in our lives because of the absolute importance it is in our spiritual walk. You can't be spiritually mature or grow in your faith without it. And that's what Peter is saying here. So what I want to do is work through these three verses with three thoughts based on Peter's sentences here. And really, I think we must begin in the middle. Oftentimes, a sermon is written in such a way where you approach the first couple of verses and you break it down to one point, and then the next few verses, the second point, and then the next few verses, the third point. And yet this morning, I think we need to jump right in the middle of the pool in order to begin with the train of thought to connect to our hearts this morning. And in the middle, verse 2, Peter tells us that as believers, we are to long for the Word of God. Verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word." This is where I believe we must begin, because I believe it connects with what Peter has just finished saying at the end of chapter 1. Now remember, Bible interpreters and translators are the ones who have written out the different verses and given numbers to where they believe a good chapter break is and where they believe good verse breaks are. And yet, this really is a flowing letter from beginning to end. And so we need to always view it that way. And Peter just got done talking about the living, enduring Word of God. And in so doing, he speaks about the gospel message and how it brings about transformation in the life of those who believe it. transformation that he uses the phrase born again to speak about. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Verse 25, and this word of God endures forever. So through believing in the precious death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are given a new life. We are born again, made anew, a new creation. The walking dead has come alive in Christ. For he has taken the eternal penalty of our sin and given us new life. And when we place our faith in him as our Savior, we have been instructed to walk in this newness of life. We are born again. I believe this is sort of what Peter's getting at when he says, like newborn babies. We're born again. We are new babies in Christ. So like newborn babies or born again believers, we are to long for the pure milk of the word. Now this is a beautiful illustration that Peter gives us, and it connects with us on multiple levels. Because we understand about birth. We understand things about newborn babies. If we haven't had any in our family, we've experienced it through friends and others. We've all experienced what newborn babies are like. And so Peter is connecting under inspiration of the Holy Spirit with us on this level. And in this illustration, I think we first are showed how we are to view God's word. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Now, the easy place to start on this is to talk about newborn babies and their need for milk, for growth, for life, for health. However, I want to start by describing the milk of the word. This is in reference to the word of God, the scriptures, that which you have in your hands open right now. That is the pure milk of the word. And newborn babies long for milk, but we are, as newborn believers, as born again believers, to long for pure milk of the word. Peter not only describes sort of our infancy and new birth, but he describes the word of God as pure. This is a Greek word that means without deceit. Perfectly sincere. God's word is pure. Why? Because its author is pure. God's word is without deceit. Why? Because of the author, who is perfectly holy and righteous and unable to deceive. It's not even in his character. So therefore, the word of God isn't motivated by deception. It doesn't use deception to get what it wants. It's without defect, default, or deceit. Psalm 119, 160, speaking of this word of God, says, the sum of your word is truth. 2 Samuel 7, 28 says, now, O Lord, you are God, and your words are truth. John 17, 17, Jesus says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And there are many other verses that came across in the Old and New Testament that speak of God's word as being true. That is this word pure. God's word is pure. It is without deceit. Thank you, Justin. Now let's put this in today's society, the context of today's world. Most words spoken to or written today are used to deceive another into what we desire. That's the world we live in. Books are written in order to lead another into a way of thinking that profits the author. Read this book. Think this way. It's the way I think you should think. Newspapers and articles within are written with such a slant in order to deceive the reader into a political thought, most oftentimes. History is even being rewritten with a selfish slant to it. News is given, stories are told and not told, all with the purpose of deceiving or tricking the reader into a certain way of thinking that profits the writer. Now, because the source of much spoken and written word in this world is humanity, which we know through our theology, our scripture here, our understanding of scripture, that humanity is born in sin, then most the words we read, written by the world around us, most of the words we are that are here being spoken to us, spoken by the world around us, are not in fact pure. They are full of deception, because the heart from the source of those words is fallible, full of sin. But God's word is not like that, because the author of scripture is infallible, perfect, and holy. His word is the only source of purity in all the world. Think of it that way. Have you ever thought of it that way? You turn on the TV, lie, lie, lie. Fake news, right? All the time. You hear these things, right? You have conversations with people and they're speaking to you in such a way as to motivate you, manipulate you to think the way they think oftentimes, right? In fact, I hear this more often than not. I don't trust them. Well, no one can be trusted, because everyone has an angle. I hear these type of words. Let me tell you what, in a world full of impurity, a world full of words that are meant to cause you to think and be swayed to the profit of the author, we have the word of God that is pure. Perfectly without deceit. Now this should be one of the reasons why we are to desire it. Because we're fed up with the deceptions and wicked angles and selfish motives of the world. We're sick of it. I want something that's pure and true. I want that to shape the way I see things, to mold my character, to make me into what I was always created to be. Peter is beginning to describe in this illustration the word of God as pure. Therefore, one of the reasons we are to long for the pure milk of the world is because we're sick of the deception around us. And we are making a choice to disallow the world's wicked schemes and my heart's corrupt nature to shape and mold my life. Because as a new creation, as a born-again believer, as a newborn spiritual baby, a redeemed disciple of Christ, I choose to allow the word of God, which is pure, to shape how I think and mold my life. I long for the pure milk of the word of God. So you see, a longing for this pure milk of the word of God, a longing, an intense desire for the word of God, is an intense desire for the only thing which is true and pure in this world. I don't want to be corrupted. I want this. I choose purity. I choose truth. I choose righteousness. I choose the word of God over the false words of man. That is what drives, one of the things that drives our desire. It's a reaction to the sinful and corrupt word of the world around me, and a longing to walk in the purity by studying the sincere and pure word of God. An interesting thing I noticed in this verse is it's a command. It's a command. Like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word. Now, I struggle with this because I had never viewed desires as something I can control. Until this week.
I always thought the desires were something within me that I can't control. I can't control what I desire. I can put a stop to it. I can fight it. I can choke it off if it's a sinful thing, or if it's a godly thing, I can pursue it. I can open up the floodgates and let that desire continue to go. But interestingly enough, if we are commanded to desire or long for pure milk of the world, then it isn't something that I can't control. It's something I can do.
It's a command. And I think that if we evaluate our priorities in life, look around at the world we live in and take a stand, making a choice to desire the pure word of God, placing it at the top priority in our lives, then that desire will actually grow. So this is part of the illustration that Peter's using here. But it hits us on another level. Not only does it describe the word of God as perfectly pure, clean from any deceit and deception, but it also, and not only does it also tell us that we are to long for it, but in this illustration we understand the reason, do we not? Verse 2 continues on. Like newborn babies, long, intensely desire for the pure milk of the world, of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Which leads us to the second thought here. And it comes from this illustration of a newborn baby. And the thought is that the truth of God's word brings about spiritual growth. Now, in this illustration, we begin with this picture of a newborn baby, and we know that newborn babies need milk to grow healthier and bigger. It's the sustenance of early life and development. In milk, the baby receives antibodies and vitamins that help fight off viruses and sicknesses that their immune system hasn't worked up its strength yet, and so they need that sustenance in the milk, and therefore, it's of great importance to the development of a newborn baby. We know these things. Peter's taking this illustration and he's saying, just like a newborn baby needs pure milk in order to develop and grow in life physically, we too, as born-again believers, newborn spiritual babies, need the Word of God for sustenance of spiritual life and development. God's word brings about spiritual growth, Peter tells us. If we drink of it, we may grow in respect to salvation. We may grow spiritually. Now, I had a thought this week. I thought about an illustration here to help with this teaching here. And if I were to hand you each a mirror, and this mirror was a magical mirror that had the ability to measure your spiritual maturity, the question is, what would you see in your reflection? Now, some of us have a very high view of our spirituality, and we know what we should pursue and what we should want and what we should desire, and therefore we think we desire these things. And when we look into this mirror with this magical ability to measure our spirituality, we are disappointed, perhaps even shocked at the image that comes through on the other side of the mirror, as it may be someone less mature. Then there's others of us who hold such a low view of ourselves that we would be surprised at the image. The truth is that we all have work to do. None of us are finished growing in our faith. And many more of us, if we were honest with ourselves, need to make some pretty big changes in our lives. Peter's telling us in the second half of verse 2, that our spiritual growth is directly linked to our relationship with the Word of God. It is the sustenance of spiritual life and development.
By tasting of the pure milk of the world, you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, as sort of a side note here, anyone can read the Bible. Anyone can. People read the Bible all the time and aren't impacted by it. Peter's speaking specifically here to newborn babies, born-again believers, and their interaction with the Word of God. Because he continues on in verse 3 and says, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, speaking of, I believe, our salvation. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. So for the Christian who interacts with the Word of God, it is the sustenance, it is the vehicle that brings about spiritual growth. Different than if an unbeliever reads the Word of God. So it's targeting us, focused on us, those who have placed their faith in Christ Jesus as Savior. So if you are a Christian and you don't know where to begin with growing in your faith, begin by reading the Word of God. It's pretty evident here. If you've been saved for quite some time and upon evaluating your faith, would admit that you've plateaued a bit, read the Word of God. If you've been saved for what seems like your entire life and you feel that you know more about the Bible than you don't know, read the Word of God. If you're depressed, read the Word of God. If you're struggling, read the Word of God. If you're caught in sin and you don't know how to get out of it, read the Word of God. If you need guidance, direction in life, read the Word of God. If you need help with the relationship, read the Word of God. If you're frustrated in life, read the Word of God. For from it, the Word of God, comes wisdom, guidance, perception, instruction. It teaches you how to view things, how to act, how to think, how to speak, how to treat family members, how to treat each other, how to love God. It teaches you who God is and what His purpose is for your life. It gives meaning to life and love and answers every question in between. Second Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God is the author. He inspired every word written in this book for your benefit. You catch that from this verse? The word useful in this verse means beneficial. Every word written in it is to benefit you. It's to be advantageous for you. It's to be profitable for you. To be helpful for you. Therefore, it is the greatest resource humanity has. And yet, it's merely a book of pages until it's read. The power comes from opening it and doing what it says. It is by far the most precious possession we have. My prayer is that I would, that we would value it as such. And therefore, create time to open it, to read it, to study it, to long for it, to apply it to our lives. And if you don't believe me that this is the most valuable possession you have and the most profitable thing the Lord has given to us, then let me work my way backwards and give you a further illustration that I believe Peter does here. As he tells us that the Word of God helps us overcome our old self. Verse 1 says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Those are just a few of the sins that once gripped our hearts before salvation. And now that we've been born anew by belief in Christ Jesus, tasting the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God is the only way that can soften and defeat that grip of sin on our hearts. On the flip side, when we actively battle against the old self, those sinful desires that once gripped our heart and still rise to the surface from time to time, our desire for God's Word becomes stronger and more intense. So it really works both ways to our benefits. But let us not miss the fact that we are to act. Nowhere in Scripture have I come across where it says, once you are saved, you will no longer desire the sins of the flesh. In Scripture, I always see that there are lists of these sins brought up to a group of believers that Peter, Paul, or John, or any of the other authors of Scripture inspired by God Himself, they tell us to overcome them, to have victory over them, to battle against them. And here, Peter says, these sins, these motivations, these heart's desires of your old self before salvation that we still battle with, malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, to name a few, we are to actually do something about it. We are to put them aside. It requires action. It requires a willful choice. That word put aside literally means to move them from one location to another. And interestingly enough, chapter 1 ended by telling us that since we believe in the gospel, we're able to and now should love one another. Chapter 2 begins with Peter saying, so put aside all those things that get in the way of loving one another. Malice. A desire to hurt someone with words or deeds. Deceit. A desire to gain some advantage by deceiving others. Hypocrisy. A desire to not be known for what we really are. Envy. A desire for something that belongs to another with resentment that another has it and you don't. Slander. The desire to put another person down by word in order to benefit yourself. It's literally a word that means to speak evil against another. These are the desires that once coursed through our veins. But then something happened. We heard the gospel, our hearts were drawn in by the Holy Spirit, and upon believing in Jesus Christ, we now have a new master. These desires no longer should reign in our lives. But we must actively work to put them aside. Now, how? How are we to do that? Through the pure milk of the Word. By tasting the kindness of the Lord. Peter is giving us a very practical solution to our question, our problem of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander still corrupt my thoughts and my mind. How do I get rid of them? Spend time in God's Word. Drink of the Word of God. Actively taste the pure milk of the Word of God. So do you feel anger or malice boiling up in you when you're mistreated? And you know you shouldn't, but you still do. Instead of acting upon it and sinning, immediately go to God's Word and read it. Tasting of the kindness of the Lord. Allowing that to motivate your reaction, your response. Are you finding yourself caught up in a web of lies and deceit in order to benefit yourself? Drink of the word of God. Taste of the kindness of the Lord. And we could go through this list and every other list of sin that we still battle. And the solution to it is found in God's word. Drinking of the word of God. Tasting of the kindness of the Lord and allowing the love of God to replace our sinful responses and behavior and reactions. That's how we are to pick them up and kick them out of town. By tasting the pure milk of the Word. Now, as we worked our way through these three verses, I hope you've seen multiple reasons why we should desire the Word of God in our lives. Why we should intensely long for it to be a part of our lives. Because we know how we are to act. We truly, I believe, truly want to act that way. We want to be Christ. We want to testify to His love with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our communities. We hate ourselves when we fall in sin. We want to be able to close our eyes at night and thank the Lord for a day of victory instead of closing our eyes at night and asking for forgiveness. We want that. That's what we desire. That's what we long for. We understand the blood and the body of Christ that was sacrificed on our behalf so we could have salvation. And so therefore we desire to walk in gratitude to what has been given to us, walking in this newness of life. And if we want that, then we must read and devote ourselves to the Word of God. Now, in today's world, that is a lot easier than it used to be. You see, there was a time when only your pastor had portions of the Word of God. In the early church, you'd gather together just to catch a glimpse of it, to hear just a few sentences of this broken Word of God that was all out and passed along and not fully collected yet. And then it was collected and put together into books of the Old Testament and New Testament. And then it was translated into most languages. And now, you have it on your phone. You have it in your glove box in your car. You have it on your computers. You have one that you preach out of, if you're like me, and one that you read at home. You have a library of different versions. King James, NIV, New American Standard. The Word of God is more plentiful, more available of a resource than we've ever had before. Let's make sure we take advantage of it. There is great value to reading God's word, applying it to our lives. It is beneficial to us, and it is linked directly to our spiritual growth. So the question I leave with you is, will you make it a priority in your life? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction in it. We thank you for the Spirit whose ministry is to guide us in the understanding of your word. And Father, I pray that as we leave today, that we would be properly challenged to invest time each day into studying and reading and applying your word. Father, may we be known as students of your word to those around us. Father, it's our great desire to be more like Christ. It's our great desire to point people towards the cross. It's our great desire to grow. And Father, it seems that it's all linked to drinking in your word. And so, Father, I pray that we would long and intensely desire for your word in our lives. Change our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.